In case it's not clear from the way things are written in your order of service, the composer for that piece is Ken Langer. Our call to worship this morning is by Laura Horton Ludwig. The wheel of the year has turned again, and once more the Thanksgiving season has arrived. How shall we sing our song of gratitude now? For what shall we give thanks? For this moment, for friends near and far, for our breath, for love, for courage and clarity, for strength, for delight, for laughter, for beauty, for the tables round which we gather, for the food we enjoy with friends, seasoned with love and memory, for the sun and moon and stars in the sky, for the trees who have seen so much and still stand proud, stretching themselves to the sky, for the bright voices of children, for the wisdom of elders, for actions that bless this world, for hard work that makes a difference, for music and art and celebration, for generosity, for compassion, for endurance, for joy, for hope. For all these things, we give thanks as we worship together. Ken, would you be willing to light our chalice this morning? These words are by Katie Gelfand. We light our chalice as a symbol of gratitude as we celebrate the abundance of our lives together. In this sanctuary, we harvest bushels of strength for one another and offer our crop with the hands of compassion and generosity. In the authentic and gentle manner of our connections, we cultivate a simple sweetness to brighten our spirits. May we be grateful for the ways we nourish and uplift each other, for it is the sharing of this hallowed time together that sustains us. All right.
Good morning. So a few years ago, we had a service here, and it was called an ecumenical service. So it was lots of different faith churches that got together, and we did a service. And there was a minister, and I wish I could remember her name. But she shared a story with me that I remember to this day. And she said that she was so excited because Thanksgiving was coming, and she couldn't wait to sit down and have her meal with her family. And she said all year long, her family just talked about the foods they would eat for Thanksgiving and how much they were looking forward to getting together to eat these foods. And she went on a little bit more, and then she held up a lunch-sized. This is our Thanksgiving dinner. And I looked, and I thought, how could you fit a whole dinner in a lunch-sized paper bag? So now I was getting a little curious. I'm like, what could possibly be in there that would be dinner for a whole group of people? And so she said, I bet each and every one of you eat this for Thanksgiving and look as much as my family and I do. And she opens the bag, and do you know what was in it? And if you were at the first service, do not give it away. Do you have any idea what could have been in that bag? A bottle of Yoo-hoo, which is like a chocolate milk, and a box of Pop-Tarts. And she wanted to say, aren't you so excited to eat these for your Thanksgiving dinner? And everyone kind of looked at her a little odd. And some of the kids were like, I don't eat that for Thanksgiving. And she's like, what do you mean you don't eat Yoo-hoo and Pop-Tarts for Thanksgiving? Everybody eats Yoo-hoo and Pop-Tarts for Thanksgiving. So I was like, well, I don't know. Like, I never have eaten Yoo-hoo in my life. I've certainly have eaten Pop-Tarts, but not at Thanksgiving. She went on to make the point that her family might be different from your family and your family and your family, but they still got together on Thanksgiving. And so that made me start thinking about how we all have perhaps some things in common, like most people probably have Thanksgiving. But I know I have a friend who's vegetarian, and he eats something called a tofurkey, and I tried it once. I will never try it again, but he likes it. So right now, I'd like you to take some time to talk to someone next to you and reach out to people if they're sitting by themselves, and just talk about one or two of your favorite Thanksgiving foods. All right, so go for it.
right. If you can save these conversations to finish up at coffee hour. So, did anyone say Yoo-hoo was one of your favorite Thanksgiving foods? How about Pop-Tarts? All right, one of my personal favorites is mashed potatoes. Anyone else have that? I forgot your name, I'm sorry. Steve was saying that his favorite, and as soon as he said it, I was like, oh my God, I love that too. His favorite is the leftovers, where you take stuffing, turkey, and cranberry sauce on white bread and make this awesome sandwich. Anyone else have that as a favorite? I read this little cartoon the other day that said, well, why can't you just have pie for Thanksgiving? Who says you can't? Now, who would prefer to have pie on Thanksgiving? So, is there anyone that likes sweet potatoes? So, there's a little boy here. Well, he wouldn't think of himself as little. But a young boy here that said he likes taking just the marshmallows out of the sweet potatoes that you need those. Now, that's a food that could sit there forever, and I wouldn't touch it. I do not like marshmallows on potatoes. And I'm wondering, do you think you all had the exact same favorite food? No. Some of us had similar ones. Some of us had different ones. And I think that's one of the things that makes me like to stretch the point just a little, to be glad to be here at FPC, because much like we all have differences in foods, especially at Thanksgiving and other times of the year, that we also have different views on politics, on climate change, on what we think is best for kids and not. And we all come together in this one community and really accept each other. And so that's one of the things I'm most thankful for.
Yeah. In my family, there is one big division between people on Thanksgiving. That's between the people who like their sweet potatoes with the marshmallows and the people who like their sweet potatoes with the like brown sugar crumble and nuts on top. So we've managed to come to a solution that keeps everybody happy. We have both. My story for all ages today is The Thanksgiving Door by Debbie Atwell. And it has beautiful pictures, but I don't have the book here with me today. I just have the story. But if you can picture, at certain points, if you can picture like Russian dancers with tall hats on doing that sort of dance where they kick up their legs, that's what some of the pictures are about. Thanksgiving Day. Ed and Anne were home alone, and then, oh no, Anne burned the dinner. Anne felt plain awful because she had ruined Thanksgiving, but Ed was hungry. Let's go see if that new restaurant down the street is open, Ed said. Oh, all right, said Anne, but it won't be the same. The door to the New World Cafe was open. Hooray, said Ed, and he quickly hung up their coats. Anne said, is this a Thanksgiving decoration? Picking up the Thanksgiving decoration, what she thought was a Thanksgiving decoration off the table. Who is the dancing man with a beard? I'm not sure we should be here, Ed. Nonsense, replied Ed. Their door was open. But meanwhile, in the restaurant kitchen, many unhappy eyes were peering through the kitchen door. This is horrible, Leon whispered. Who left the front door open? We can't have customers today. Our party will be ruined. Let's get rid of them, said Tatiana. I'll bang these pots together. The noise will scare them away. Well, grandmother had heard all that she could bear. She dropped her peeled potato in the pot and said, enough. In old country, we bang pots and pans at wolves, not hungry people. Today is Thanksgiving Day. Family cooks turkey big as a doghouse, but we don't share? Bah! Grandmother is right, said Olga. Go get some chairs. So Olga showed Anne and Ed to the best seats at the table, and Aunt Sophia brought two more table settings out, and Grandmother said, "Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome, welcome. We're glad you're here." And that's how Anne and Ed found themselves guests of honor as this family celebrated their very first Thanksgiving in America at the New World Cafe. After dinner, Ed asked for the check, and everyone pretended not to understand English. "No, no, no. We dance now. Stay." And Anne and Ed had never heard of a family dancing on Thanksgiving. How many of you all dance as a family on Thanksgiving? Not so very common. But they were having such a good time, so they said yes. And Ed followed the men upstairs to help move the tables out of the way, and Anne stayed with the women and got to hold the new baby, Sonia. Uncle Carl struck up the band, and the young dancers got things started. And soon everyone joined in, even Ed, who had never danced a lick in his life. He kicked up his heels. Anne knew how to dance. She knew all the steps, and she taught everyone the conga. And at no time at all, they were dancing in a huge conga line. What a hit. It was really late when Anne and Ed said their goodbyes, and Grandmother gave Anne a table decoration, and Papa and Ed traded hats, and Anne gave her telephone number to Sonia's mother in case she ever needed a babysitter. And they all said, "Thank you for making this such a very special Thanksgiving." When it was time to lock up the cafe, Papa could not get that front door to close. When he looked down, he found a raw potato jammed under the door. "How did this stupid thing get here?" he asked. "In the old country, Thanksgiving door is like a happy heart, opened big and wide. Potato is good for that," said Grandmother. "You're right," was all Papa said. When they got home, Anne lit the candle from the cafe and made tea. "What are you most thankful for on this wonderful Thanksgiving?" she asked. Ed thought about it. Many things crossed his mind, but what was he most thankful for? "Well," he said, "I guess I'd have to say, my dear, that I'm most thankful that you burned our dinner." "Oh, Ed," she said, "me too." The end. Our Thanksgiving bread was baked today by our junior youth, as they have done for many years. And our litany that will be read this morning is combined from things that they wrote, Voices of Our Youth. And Michelle's going to introduce it and say how this is going to happen.
All right. So Demi is going to come up, and Katie. We don't have a lot of youth here, so they're going to help out. I appreciate it very much.
For centuries, the breaking of bread has been a symbol of welcome, of community, of friendship, and building bridges. Sharing food together is part of many religious rituals because it binds people together as family, as community. It shows welcome and hospitality. In giving bread, you give sustenance, you give life. Sharing food with a stranger is a sign of welcome and hospitality that transcends culture and crosses back through time. It is an ancient and holy act of communion. That's a reason that we use that word communion, because it comes from the same root word as community.
The bread we share today was baked by the junior youth group, and I need to give a shout out to Pam Cole, who has for years taken this project under her wing and done an amazing job. And with all of us here breaking bread together, we connect with the past and the future in a shared hope for unity and peace and communion between all people.
When we share bread together, we are all together.
When we break bread together, we are connected. Some people feel alone, and coming here makes them feel less alone.
If we are at the same table, we would understand each other. It would give people the opportunity to understand each other.
Community for us means we come here for friends and for the feeling of being equal to everyone else. Where other churches have segregation, here there is equality.
Here is a community where all are welcome.
But the work of creating community and justice is not done. We dream of a world where everyone is different, but each has equal opportunity.
We dream of a world where teachers would teach us what we actually need to know to be an adult.
We dream of a world where college would be less expensive and more people would be able to go.
Some of these dreams may be far off, some may never happen, but some are within our reach, and this community can help us build toward the future.
We say, put out the invitation. Put out flyers, stand in the street, put it in newspapers, ring the bell. But today, we begin by sharing bread together.
All right, thank you. All right, and now the youth that are helping to pass bread. Can you come on up, please? If you don't want to, you don't have to help. All right, good. All right, hold on one sec. Our bread will now be passed. We have a few different breads here today, all of which are nut-free and including gluten-free bread. Please take a piece, and after everyone has been served, we will together eat the bread as Reverend Cindy says some words of blessing. As we pass this bread, we will sing, "From you I receive, to you I give." If you need the gluten-free bread, please raise your hand, and I will make sure to bring it to you. So if you need gluten-free, if you raise your hand, I will bring it to you. All right, and if you all come on over here.
We hold these silent prayers and thoughts in the beloved arms of community. Our words for prayer this morning are by Barbara Peskin, titled Autumn Prayer. May the glory of the passing away of autumn lie about us, fresh gold for a time. And when the dark comes and the cold, may we remember how today we sit and stand in glory, how we walk and roll in bounty, heaped upon the earth's dark carpet, how we move knee-deep in abundance, flung against night's winter curtain. We are thankful for it coming and for its passing. Let it be. Blessed be, and amen.
Today the choir is going to sing a piece called The Road Home. Oftentimes this piece is done with a metaphorical look to the text, but today I want to do a literal text. So it says, "Tell me where is the road I can call my own that I left, that I lost so long ago. All these years I've wandered, oh, when will I know? There's a way, there's a road that will lead me home." And just a side note, after they're done singing, the choir's going to run away, so they have a concert tonight, this afternoon, right? Yeah, so come to the concert, Sounds of Stowe, at 2 o'clock at the Hale School, and that's why they're disappearing. It's not just me.
You can leave them there if you need to. Yeah, that's fine. Very unusually shaped yarmulke. Our generosity in this church is abundant, and one of the many ways we show that generosity is through the plate sharing that we do every week, where we give half of our plate away to different agencies we've chosen. The Southeast India Project is one that came out of members in this church and their concern after the tsunami. More information can be found in your order of service. Please give as generously as you are able. Thank you.